Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
And welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Friday, April 14th, and it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for today as we have a sober discussion as to where we stand. And you may ask, exactly what do you mean where we stand? Why so broad? What are you talking about, Cecil, on this Friday afternoon? I'm talking about what is trailing the headlines, which is marital rape and rape in general. It's a heavy topic for a Friday, but I need people to analyze the topic, to scrutinize what is happening culturally in the Bahamas, and for us as citizens to address this issue in a sober way. I find that we tend to be flippant, dismissive of these type of discussion. And I'm saying that, no, this is something serious. This is something serious that impacts our young girls and our women folk, our mothers, our wives, our daughters. So we need to understand what is it exactly is happening to us, happening in the Bahamas, happening to our females. So let me start the conversation, right? Last year sometime, let me see if I get the date here, in March 7th, 2022, the Minister of National Security was bemoaning the point that perhaps we need to reconsider the term rape in the issue regarding marriage. That you can call it any other name, and it could be cool, we can get some convictions. But if you call it rape in marriage, even that you can may perhaps prove that it was an aggression and forcefully the husband did, that it's going to be so problematic that perhaps it's necessary to change the word rape to something other than rape. And that's all here and there and fine and dandy, right? Because there are a number of persons who are uneasy with the possibility of rape in the marriage. And see, I'm coming closer to the Speaker of the House, and because this is all that we're talking about, right? And let me bring in the Speaker recently. The Speaker, the good honorable woman, was interviewed recently. In fact, the Speaker and the Deputy Speaker came on afterwards, after the hullabaloo about the Speaker's response. And the Speaker said that because she isn't married, and I'm paraphrasing, this is my interpretation of what is said, and you can call and object to my read exact quote, but this is my interpretation. This is how I felt, how I, the vexed in spirit that it came out of me, that because she isn't married, she said or suggested that she was not qualified to voice her opinion on whether a husband can rape his wife. I had a problem with that, right? Because she's an elected official. She was elected to have an opinion on such things, because as a member of parliament, she may have to vote in support or against these things. And the idea that she felt uncomfortable with addressing such, and it's an issue that was going to be debated soon, right? Concluded soon, that she said she's not competent to do with that. And I hold that juxtaposed that there is a movement, it seems, afoot, right, to change the word rape and dilute it to something different. And I am wondering if Bahamian women should be concerned should they be alarmed? Right? Because we now having rapists of children, getting 1 and 2 and 3 years for brutally raping people. And I have a problem with that. And I say, I gotta have a sober discussion on that. So in order to help me have this sober discussion on that, right, I bring, again, Erin Green. Because, you know, I have her analyze things, and I tend to bait her. And in order to have a better conversation, a analytical conversation, which I don't think our leaders, which I don't think the lawyers, which I don't think the churchmen, which I don't think the social people in the Bahamas tend to analyze what is happening. So I say, if they ain't doing it, I can do it, right? So we can draw a conclusion, so we can push back as citizens. But Erin, I want to welcome you so we can start, right? I remember yesterday I said, Erin, look through the newspaper and get some quotes for me. And I want these quotes, but I just want to bring you in now so we can talk about this. Rape is serious talk. Yeah. Ain't no jokey talk. This is serious talk we talk about.
In fact, just in the last 24 hours, I've seen two headlines, right? One in the Nassau Tribune, man gets 4 years for unlawful sex with 13-year-old girl. And in another publication, Bahamas Court News, man charged with sexual assault of girl 12 on park. In doing this research, I found two very interesting publications, you know, submissions to the local papers. One is a letter to the editor that would have been posted, like, I think 30th of March, 23, from Siobhan Hollis, who's the president of Save Our Children Alliance, right? And she's a child advocate. And also, I think this week, Tennille Burrows was a guest editor. She provided a guest editorial for the Nassau Tribune. And she speaks directly to child abuse and child sex abuse. And these are very strongly written, very somber, both deemed to be a crisis among us, right? A crisis of child abuse and child sexual abuse. And so it is prevalent, but it is an urgent issue. We're dealing with it right now. And people are attempting to address it. There's an article, again, from the Nassau Tribune, the 5th of April, 23, child abuse cases up near 50%. And it reads, nearly 200 child abuse cases were reported between January and March 2023 in New Providence, a near 50% increase over the same period in 2022. According to statistics from the Department of Social Services, there were 191 reported child abuse cases, up from 90 during the same period last year. Categories of child abuse include abandonment, neglect, and rape. Most abuse cases involve sexual abuse. Unreported cases up to March, an increase from 28 in 2022. Let me read that sentence again. Most abuse cases involved sexual abuse, with 51 reported cases up to March, an increase from 28 in 2022. So that's the numbers from January to March. Physical abuse accounted for 43 of the reported abuse cases this year. There were also 30 reports of neglect, 13 of educational neglect, 3 of self-mutilation, and 4 of suicidal ideation. There was 1 report of rape and 1 report of inappropriate sexual behavior from January to December 2022, 391 cases of abuse were reported. The statistics were disclosed to reporters during a press conference highlighting Child Protection Month in April. Deputy Director of Social Services Charlamagne Fernandez said abuse is often committed by people well known to children. I mean, pause there.
Yes.
Yeah.
From calling numbers just now.
Yeah.
And I see you call. I'm going to come to you shortly. Give me a couple of seconds, right? From this numbers, from what we hear in the news, can we say that women, Bahamian women, are at risk? And use this word, endangered. Should there be a concern? Should there be a using of resources to say, hey, let us now protect women because women are under attack?
Well, we don't get enough information from this particular story on child abuse to make those a clear determination. You know, we can say that, look, if women are the main caregivers, right? If women are the main caregivers of children, and we're talking about instances of abandonment and neglect and rape, right? Then we ask ourselves, are the main caregivers derelict in their duty of care, right? And then we ask, well, why is this dereliction taking place? Why are mothers in homes unattended? Is it to go to work? Is it to go to work and there is no daycare available? To go to work and there's no care available at night, right? Are they leaving their children unattended because they're essentially neglecting them and they're not making means to take care of them when they go and do other things? And I'm not talking about work, right, or errands. I'm talking about recreating and sort of gallivanting. In one instance, we can understand that women may be the sole caregiver, have to work, and cannot afford other means to take care of the children. And I think that's different from mothers who are leaving children at home to go out and party at night, leaving the children unattended.
I want to get specific here, but I let me engage this caller first. Mm-hmm. And I want to talk about what is happening with our court system in regarding rape. Because I see there's a case now, right, where this gentleman, sexual assault charges against him already, right? And according to this news report, he sexually assaulted a 12-year-old girl on the park. And I was saying, where was her mother? I would say, I'm expecting him. I might even ask, where is her daddy? But you know, daddies don't never be there. But I was going to say, you mentioned that neglect and you mentioned women's responsibility. And I'm saying that whose duty was it? And I call it, come to you right now. Whose duty was it to protect this child?
Right. Let's stick a pin, right? We go into the caller because a 12-year-old should be able to go to the park unattended.
And we can talk about that.
Yeah, yeah.
But let's go to the caller. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? Call over and went. There's nobody there. Yeah. Sorry about that, caller. You there? Go on. Okay then, caller. And you're saying that a 12-year-old girl should be able to be safe on the park?
Yeah, man.
In this day and time?
Yeah. No. Okay. A 12-year-old girl should be able to aid her community, go to the park, hang out, and get back home unmolested. She should be able to do that. Even if she is encountering adult behavior around her, right? Even if she walking past the by them, smoking a joint on the corner, you know, maybe they put it down when they see little children coming. Maybe they don't. Maybe they walk back a little bit. She should be able to walk past the bar to sell alcohol without any fear of being molested. Now, it's 2023, and I appreciate, you know, what you were sort of hinting at there, that given what we know about current society, we should put measures in place to ensure that children could move through their communities safely and unmolested.
But Aaron, this gentleman has sexual offenses where he had sexual assault against two girls already. One was 12, one was 15. This boy has a habit. Go ahead.
At the time of the offense,
my point.
Go
ahead.
He's on bail in relation to the sexual assaults of two girls, ages 12 and 15.
My point.
In 2021.
He has a habit.
No, we don't know that. Pause. I'm not. That is not my place on this radio right now to share that opinion. Would maybe possibly prejudice a matter. We got to be very. And all of the cases we're talking about today.
I just read the news.
Yeah, yeah. No. I'm with you. We got to talk about them in a way that we don't prejudice potential justice. But the article actually says that he was on bail in relation to the sexual assaults of two girls ages 12 and 15.
So let me remove from that and say this. If somebody's on bail for any type of crime against children, should they have access to them on parks? Or that is what I'm talking about.
Should their bail conditions restrict them from accessing places where children are or can be unsupervised?
That's what I'm saying.
That's a question. I think that that is a reasonable question.
What is it, Carla? Mm-hmm. Carla, can you hear me this time?
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Hey, Aaron, you're back.
Yes, ma'am.
How are your leg?
It's good. That's why I'm here. I can't run away. I can't run. It's good. We're getting there.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Anyway, like I was thinking about what you guys were saying, that the speaker said she have, she's not married, so she can't say anything on it.
Mm-hmm.
But she's a woman. You know, I don't think you have to be married to understand what rape does to someone. She have a constituency of women. So what she should have said, in my opinion, is to say, you know, let me speak to my constituents and I would get back to you with some, or just say nothing at all.
Yeah.
You understand me? She should know what to say by now, as long as this been thrown around. By that she's trying to say, and I'm in her constituency, so she said nothing to me about it. So she's not asking us our opinion for her to have an opinion, married or not.
Mm-hmm.
You're a woman. All the MPs by now should have an opinion. If not their own, they can say, okay, I've spoken to my constituents and this is their opinion on it. You understand me? So have something to say.
Yes,
she always likes to tell people what to say and how to do their job. How is she not doing hers? That's amazing.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Carla.
Can I?
But no, we go back. I want to know in terms of the bail, right? Mm-hmm. Then we can go back to speak to the speaker.
Okay, cool.
Over that, regards that. See, as a man who has girl children,
mm-hmm.
right? I'm thinking you said that a girl child should have the right or should
no,
have
she
the
has
freedom,
the right.
Right? To go on the park and be free from being molested with.
Yes.
Right? But according to the news, this media report, she was molested and molested by someone who apparently has charges pending.
Right.
For the same. See, something is wrong with that narrative.
Now, I appreciate what you're saying, right? She should be able to be on the park, given the nature of the charges, right? What he's suspected of. I think that we should consider putting those types of restrictions in the bail conditions, right? Which is, you cannot be more than, you know, you cannot be less than 200 yards, 100 yards away from a school, a park, an area where children are expected to be, right? It's not a matter of saying, well, the girl was inside the club, you know, and it was 11 p.m., you know, and I didn't know. That's not, it's a park. This is where children are supposed to be. And she has the right to a life free of violence. She has the right to navigate her community. We must now figure out how will we protect those most vulnerable in our communities. You say, I think should have been restrictions on his bail conditions, right? I think we need to change the way that we disseminate information. I think there should be park wardens, and I think park wardens should get information. Like, there's some information that you're not going to release to the general public. In fact, let's stick a pin here. I'm sure I heard somebody, possibly by the name of Prime Minister, talking about how they're not going to reveal the amounts of monies awarded to people. This is not the same situation. Wardens potentially should have the images of people who should not be in the park due to their bail restriction, people who have been convicted of a sexual offense, in particular a crime against children, so as to ensure that these areas can be as safe as possible. That warden doesn't have to interact with or interdict that individual. The warden should have a telephone number so that they could call mobile patrol, and mobile patrol could pull through the area, right? And hopefully what happens is the individual sees the police and removes themselves before the police have to stop them and talk to them, mm-hmm. right? And if they don't, if it's obvious to the police that this person is disregarding their obligations to the wider community and to the courts, then go have a word with them and determine whether you have to detain them.
Yeah. Let's talk about the culture of violence. And when I say culture of violence, the culture of violence against women. and how the speaker utterance added to that culture of violence. Because I'm sure she didn't intend it, so I'm not beating up on the speaker. Mm. And I think the speaker is trying her best to be politically correct. But in her attempt to be politically correct, against women ensued. And I think we have a duty of care to show her, mm-hmm. inform her, to point out how her words is adding to violence to women. And people say, "Boy, that's a far fetch. That's a far stretch that you're going."
I mean, it appears, and I've seen the commentary, right? One in particular was, it don't matter what she'd say, she's going to get beat up by the people. Well, I want to say this thing. I've also heard people evoking the spirit of Frankie Campbell, right? I want to say, if you believe that you supposed to spend the first 6 months of the year staying out of other people's business and the next 6 months of the year minding your own business, why did you run for parliament? Why did you decide to become an MP? And or a cabinet minister? Why did you put yourself in a position of authority? In fact, why did you take up the obligation of making decisions on behalf of other people if you're just going to get up and turn around in the most urgent moments and say, these decisions have nothing to do with me? Right? So obviously, they're in the political sphere where politicians don't understand what their job is. And like you say, I don't blame the speaker entirely, because somebody is supposed to prepare these politicians for this new role in society. But why did you place yourself there if you're not prepared to concern yourself about other people's business? That's the whole premise of your job. That's it.
And let me stop you there. What if the speaker have the belief, like a number of Bahamian women, that it's impossible for a married man, a husband, to... That's her position. This is her culture. This is how she interpreted it. You know, because mind you, we had a member of parliament. I remember the member of parliament for Acklands, the last member of parliament of Acklands, and she's speaking similarly about it and gave an example. There are a number of women who believe that a man has authority over their woman's body.
Right, this is the people in charge, these politicians, right? Because you are supposed to be prepared at any point in time to engage the public, right? With these things, you should be able to say to a member of your constituency, a member of the public generally, a member of the media, right? That I have to balance a number of things. I have to balance the views of my constituents. And I have to balance them amongst themselves because they are varied. I have to balance my view as an individual woman. I have to balance my view as an individual member of parliament and a member of this party. And I have to balance all of these things. And you should be able to speak to the public in a way that expresses, right, the consideration of all of these positions.
Okay. And I hear you say all that. I'm saying that she has a right to have her opinion. And perhaps her opinion is a husband can't rape his wife. And perhaps that was what she intended to say.
At this time, I can express to you my personal opinion on the matter. This is not a reflection of the views of my constituents, nor is it a position that I am able to bring to Parliament, because it is not a reflection of the views of my constituents.
I have another question, but I see you have a caller.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? I noticed that none of the women in the party, in Parliament, come up and rise and say, "Hey, I understand the Speaker has some concerns. However, I want to reaffirm, and I shall reach out to the speaker to make her understand that we need to be united." And that's an indictment on the women in parliament. But that's just me. I think women need to be more aggressive in terms of fighting for women.
Man, go to that call before I say something.
Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Mr. New and Aaron.
Morning.
This park was near bushes on an abandoned building or what? Do you have, I'm just curious.
No, the article didn't say anything.
Yeah, but you're familiar with the park?
No, I'm not familiar with the park.
The article doesn't even name the park, I think. I'm not sure.
The park's Massachusetts.
It's a park in Eastern Estates, but that's all it says.
Right, and some of these parks are not favored up there, abandoned by bushes. They're not maintained, and they're abandoned, and it could have been abandoned building somewhere. You know, I just think about how these parks are, some of these parks are not situated. You all see some of these parks. Some of these parks are not too safe for children.
Yep.
Or not safe for anybody.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, we're talking about, yeah.
And so, listen, that's a wonderful point, Pumpkin Eater. And I wonder, what is the purview of beaches and parks?
Right.
Is it just to maintain them, like to keep the grass cut and pick up the garbage? Or is it to create a safe environment for the users of the beaches and the parks?
And sure, we have CCTV mounted on the parks.
We don't have CCTV mounted on the parks already, Pumpkin Eater, Bush reporter.
No, you have yourself any CCTV on the park. You have them on the road. Some of them switch this way and switch that way.
No, man. No. They don't have CCTV on the parks. The way that these boy them celebrated putting a little pion pion Wi-Fi on the park, and there's no CCTV on the park?
No. He's right. You could go, Joe. I last time I checked, I started to be corrected. And Mr. Newey, you see any CCTV on the park?
No, I don't see any CCTV on the park.
And that's another thing. So we really need to... You mentioned the Woman Association. They got to take notes now. Because, one, we need to move abandoned buildings near the park. Two, cut down those bushes. And let's put CCTV and have somebody to watch the children so they can know who is the children. They can have a control car in that area. Quick as 1, 2, 3.
Absolutely. But let me go and move on to the other caller. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? Caller, can you hear me?
Yeah, good morning, Mr. Newey. Good morning, Mr. Ms. Green.
Morning.
Yeah, you know, great conversation. And so I side with C.A. Newey and you, Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
But here's what's very crucial. Because, you know, in the inner city, we have a lot of men who is, when you was dubious about a lady's age, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you have to use your, like, you know, the female. You have to see how they really look. And then you'll wonder if you would speak to them. But one of the things always that we concern was their age. Some would lie, right? But then this is something that you have to do. But there's a friend who moved to recently, and she has a young daughter. And the girl was pretty young. I think that's about 12, maybe 13 the most. But when she moved to the country, she was much earlier. But she was very slim and bony. But I says, she came and told me that a young man through the next corner, what he had said to her daughter. So I was concerned. But firstly, of course, it'd be safe in the park, but obviously not after dark, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let me just, and what Pumpkin Eater was referring to was really, should be an integral part of community policing, right or wrong?
Yep.
All right, so now my question is pedophilia here. Let's segregate pedophilia versus normal attraction towards a female.
Mm-hmm.
So in order to put these predators on the spot, because I was upset with the leniency of the sentence, 4 years, you know, I just thought that we'd be too lenient with sexual predators,
mm-hmm.
and females. But what I'm upset about is the fact that what this gentleman said to the young lady. The young lady was, she wasn't even puberty. She wasn't in puberty. I thought she would have been 11, 12. But the things he said to her, and then she told her mother, and she, me and I just had a conversation. You know, I have a young daughter, 7, but was young at the time. But what I'm saying is, if you sitting on the blocks and you see a child passing, and you should be able to distinguish whether she's in puberty or not, then pedophilia comes out. Maybe we should encourage the young ladies to travel with phones and record as they do this, because obviously, if somebody is approaching a young child that age, they should be a person of interest in many situations. I don't see it as healthy, and I see it as something should be put in place to really stop that type of behavior. People might say it's ridiculous and it's far-reaching, but when you have people continuously, if the matter is ongoing and continuous, a young lady's passing, you know she's underage, and you're still bothering with her, then that becomes a problem
for mm-hmm.
the father and the community at large and everybody. You see what I'm saying? It's not healthy. Bless her.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. But Aaron, I want to ask you again,
mm-hmm.
is there a rape culture thriving in the Bahamas? And I want to also question you about the temperament of the House of Assembly post the speaker's comment. Mm-hmm. As a member of parliament, I guess is on record, who said that sometimes you got to beat a woman and they enjoy it.
Now let me make a point here. That's a great point. Those comments made by, at the time, Honorable Leslie Miller. And I say that only because he was in the House at the time, I'm sure. Anyway, good morning, Mr. Miller. Mr. Miller was telling a story. He was trying to, it's not like an allegory, right? He was trying to say that, look, the Bahamian people seem like they love punishment. Like they don't care that they are being treated badly. They just keep returning, and I think he was saying to the same political parties, party for bad punishment, right? He used an example from his personal life where he told a story about in his younger days he had a girlfriend and he was physically aggressive and violent with his girlfriend. You know, he would hit her. And one day after maybe talking to someone or having an experience, he realized that this is wrong. I should not be doing this. I should not be beating this woman like this. You know, like we row and I may hit her. So he said, you know, they had an argument or something, and he said, I ain't hitting you, woman, I ain't hitting you. And the woman said, well, what you mean you ain't hitting me? You know, like, but that's what, you don't love me no more. And he was trying to, he was telling that story in an attempt, right, to, you know, all the big English words going out my brain, but in an attempt to show us, you know, that it appears as if we like bad treatment, like some women in a keep returning to abusive relationships seem to like bad treatment. In the way that he told it, left it to be interpreted in many different ways from many different people. And some of those interpretations of that story perpetuate rape culture. Perpetuate the idea that it is right, it is a right and proper thing to physically discipline your girlfriend, your significant other, your spouse, right? Your wife. And so that's, you know, that was those statements way back then. Mm-hmm. His intention was not to, but the way that his words were perceived and what people inferred from his words, they took it to mean, look here, man like beat woman, and woman's supposed to get beaten.
And I still want to know the ethos or the feeling inside the House Assembly and what should we have expected from the particularly the female member of parliament. And then I'm going to ask again about rape culture. Do we have an anti-woman culture inside the Bahamas in terms of aggression? Let me make this point, particularly when you have census polls done in the University of Bahamas, where young people think it's okay for their dating partner
right
to beat up on a woman.
I don't know if the correct term is putting the cart before the horse, right? But it's like the people who are responsible for creating policy to protect us, to shape society, like they are saying to us, like, why would we continue to call it rape, right? Why would we continue to call it rape if people don't think it's a big deal? Your job as a policymaker is to ensure that people understand that it's a big deal through the policies that you implement and the laws that you pass.
Is it a big deal, though?
Of course rape is a big deal. In fact, you know what's the even bigger deal? How is it that it appears as if the courts refuse to use the word rape in a matter that should never be called unlawful sexual intercourse? How do you forcefully penetrate a child and then say it's just unlawful sexual intercourse? And how could that be a thing, right? How could that act be categorized as a thing, right, that we call unlawful sexual intercourse, that has been the minimum penalty for that thing is a non-custodial sentence? A crime that renders a non-custodial sentence as the minimum charge could not be rape. There's no way that a non-sentence could be attached to anything that is rape. And so what I expected from Parliament after this statement is I expected the women in the House to be prepared for this moment. I expected them to be antsy. right? Hoping that it doesn't happen, but being prepared for it. Because the moment that the speaker made that statement and those women went back to the house, they should have demanded an opportunity to present the views of their constituents on the matter. Because it's their constituents' views that they bring to the House. They should be prepared for it, and they should be prepared to juxtapose, if necessary, their personal views or their party view. Juxtapose that to the views of the constituents, and they should be prepared to offer solutions, policy solutions, and community structural solutions for the way forward. That's what I expected in the House. What I didn't expect was that the only person that responded was a man. And the deputy speaker, I didn't expect that. I expected somebody else to respond.
Yeah. Let's take a break, right? It's at that point in time. I also want to reference this case and how you mentioned unlawful sex act on a 13-year-old. I want to mention that on the other side of the break. I'm trying to get these definitions. But I'll be right back. This is Guardian Radio with C.A. Nuri. Of course, Aaron Green is joining me. And we're discussing if there is a rape culture in the Bahamas and should it be addressed. 1 minute, we'll be right back.
Cora, I look funny, all black up yesterday.
But she says she bumped into a wall when she's running after the churn them.
Yeah, but last Saturday, you see her arm was all black and blue, right?
What you saying? You think something wrong between her and Jack?
I ain't sure, but you know Jack is a jealous man. I hear him and Cora last Friday. I hear him say he hear Cora have eyes for Junior.
Now, you know that ain't true. Cora is a good woman. Does mind her business, take care of them churn, and go to church every Sunday. So what you think we should do?
I think we should report Jack, you know. Cora don't say nothing, but silence hides violence, and we don't want to line up in the cemetery.
Not me. I ain't getting in nobody business. Then Jack come after me and I land up next to Cora.
No, man, we could call her text Crime Stopper. And remember, we can even get some grocery money for our tip.
Remind me again how does work.
We can call them in Miami at 328-TIPS or 328-8477. Or when we in the island, call toll free at 300-TIPS or 300-8477. And if you don't have no minutes, use the Crack Crime Bahamas app and we could text them. And the messages get on mix up before it leave your phone so nobody can know what you saying.
So what are we waiting on then? Let's go earn some grocery money.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri, and I have Erin Green with me, and I'm prodding her, trying to, because you know she's an advocate, right? A human rights advocate. And I am concerned on whether we as a people in the Bahamas are doing enough to protect Bahamian women. And I am concerned on whether there exists a latent, sinister rape culture amongst us that we are not addressing, and that this rape culture has permeated from the top straight to the bottom as we discuss marital rape, as we discuss protecting our young daughters, and I'm saying that, Aaron, I don't think the response, and I wanted to add this to the conversation, mm-hmm. this news article where a gentleman got 4 years. 4 years for, and this is what he got charged with, unlawful sex with a 13-year-old girl.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm saying, why wasn't it rape, right? Why was it named unlawful sex? Especially when the people seem to be trying to water down the term rape. And I want to say that this was an instance where there was a discrepancy on whether this young girl gave consent to say, well, that's my boyfriend, and she had an older man friend, and now they saying, okay, she being hot. This girl, according to the news article, was body slam, push down, and force and penetrated.
Stick a pin, right? I can say something bold.
I know, but I want to make sure the people understand that this was no nice thing.
We need to.
This was no nice thing.
I just want to take a moment to call for the resignation of the Minister of National Security. I'm going to tell you why. We got an article here from last year. The title is, it comes from, it's in the Nassau Guardian, right? I think it may be March of 2022, but it's an article from 2022. Call it something other than rape. And what I'm going to suggest to you, right, here's a quote. If the goal of criminalizing marital rape is to get convictions in the government, quote, better call it something other than rape, close quotes. I want to read a couple of other quotes from the minister from an article entitled Monroe Excessive Sentence in Sex Case. That's the 1st of April, 22, and that is in the Nassau Guardian as well. Following public outrage after a 40-year-old man was sentenced to 4 years in prison after impregnating a 14-year-old schoolgirl, Minister of National Security Wayne Monroe said yesterday the perpetrator should have received a lesser sentence because the victim willingly had sex with him despite her being under the age of consent. Right? This is the start of the article. And here's some quotes from Mr. Monroe. When challenged that the victim could not have consented because she was under the age of consent, Monroe claimed that the victim was able to consent since she was 7 years old, but her consent, quote, does not matter, close quote, until she is 16. Another quote, and you can engage a debate on it, but I would hope that we always sentence fellows who have sex with young people than those who have sex with anybody who appears to be agreeing regardless of their age. Another quote, Monroe added, I'm having great difficulty understanding that people don't understand the difference between if I lure a young child out of the house, I trick her, I hold her down, have sex with her against her will, and if she comes out and has sex with me willingly, quote, both of these things are wrong, both of those things are a crime, but everyone should understand there should be different levels of punishment given the differing circumstances. Is what I'm going to suggest, that we need to ask the Minister of National Security to resign because he has not fully grasped his obligation to create policy to protect the most vulnerable. I'm going to say, has been on creating a more efficient and expeditious judicial system, which does not necessarily lead directly or indirectly to increased protections for women and children or increase access to justice.
And I hear you, what you're trying to say, but I think the minister has since redeemed himself from 2022 with his new utterance in terms of protecting women. I'm not saying he's done enough.
He could redeem himself if he addresses at a policy level, right? But publicly, this matter, I would like to hear a statement from the Minister of National Security in reference to the sentencing of Mr. Maurice Reynolds, particularly given his statements documented in this article, Monroe Excessive Sentence in Sex Case. He says, I'm having great difficulty understanding that people don't understand the difference between if I lure a young child out of the house, I trick her, I hold her down, have sex with her against her will, and if she comes out and has sex with me willingly, right? In this matter, he was referencing a case where it was determined that the man and the child had a continuing relationship, right? Where she did say yes, despite the fact that she cannot consent to the act that they engaged in. This matter, reported in the Tribune, suggests that there was definitely force, but the same 4-year sentence was meted out.
Interesting.
In both cases. So perhaps he could redeem himself after we determine what he says, how he responds, both to the public and at a policy level.
And we need to analyze that some more. But let's go to the caller here. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Yes. Good morning. My question to you, both of you today, is do you believe that in our modern day Bahamian society, our educated women who are outnumbering men in the educational field, do you think that they would allow any man who, and in most cases they are making more money than them, to sexually abuse them? Continually,
I think it's possible. I mean, I think we're seeing it happen.
Where?
In the Bahamas.
And are there no mechanism for if they're in a marriage for them to get out of that marriage?
I'm sure there are some mechanisms. There are no real sustainable systems, right? Like, there are mechanisms. There are things that there is no system that a woman or a child could rely on, right? That if I am being abused in my home, whether by my spouse, my significant other, or by my parents or a caregiver, right? That this is where you go. This is what's supposed to happen. These are the resources that are available to you, right? This is step A, step B, step C. This information isn't in one place. You can't just access it. There's no real system. And in the absence of systems, people are left to falter to their own decisions, you know?
And I am sure, Aaron. And why I ask it, because my understanding of this UN gender thing, that it was born out of the genesis of, you know, where countries where you had prearranged child marriages or marriages where women had no real say, that their husband would abuse them willy-nilly and whatnot, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so this, and listen here, Bahamian woman, Christian, non-Christian, they ain't gonna put up with no foolishness. They ain't care about no piece of paper that they signed. If their man trying, they gone. I telling you. So this whole marriage thing about trying to make that a law in the Bahamas, I don't think that is necessary here in the Bahamas. We don't have that prevalence, and I'm not saying that the law should not protect everyone. But if you are being abused in a marriage, you can just leave. You don't have to get a divorce. You can just separate from your husband.
Okay,
you know?
I appreciate what you're saying. We certainly don't have the prevalence or the preponderance, right, of those incidents in the Bahamas or on this side of the world that we may see in other jurisdictions or other cultures in the world, right? I give you, I acknowledge that. I will also acknowledge that you're correct. We've got some of the most, I want to say, agency-filled. We got some of the most powerful, dominant women in this country. They're doing big things. We had one woman, she took over the whole opposition. She pulled a whole coup and took over the position of leader of the opposition. We got some women with awesome amounts of power and just unbelievable connections internationally. Say we only had two women out of 400, and we're comparing them to a country with 10 million people, and 2 million women experience that regularly. Just because we only have two women out of 400,000 that experience it, doesn't mean that we shouldn't write law that directly addresses...
What I'm saying is that those two women, they don't have to experience it. But in those other...
What I'm telling you is that the majority of women in the Bahamas don't have to experience it, but you have a small percentage of women that do. And I can tell you a story right now. I know a woman who has passed away now. She's married to one of the richest people in this country, and that man beat her almost to death in that house. And despite the wealth that sat within her community and the resources she had available to her, she got no help and died in that house.
She was entrapped by the trapping of society and the wealth. She wanted to maintain that status. She could have walked out of that Life McKee home or whatever home and save her life. But she wanted to maintain that lifestyle. And so she was prepared to say, okay, I'm going to say because I want his money and so on. Then you are prepared to suffer the consequence. But she could have gotten out of that marriage, couldn't she?
Yeah, but and I let you go there because I go, yeah. But I want to ask you something. I want to ask you something here on... I didn't mean to let you go. I wanted to ask you something. Call back, caller, because I wanted to engage you. And my question was going to be, do you support the legislation of marital rape? And if they change the name to something other than marital rape, would you support it then? Because there are a number of Bahamian men who said that, a husband cannot rape his wife, right? And that is an issue that why this debate continues, right? We've already concluded that a number of men aren't happy with it. They're not moving forward with it. And we've seen that a number of women, namely the speaker, is not happy with it and they're not moving forward with it. So perhaps we need to consider an alternative moving forward. I didn't mean you to hang up, speaker. I wanted to ask you that question.
I'm glad you reminded me that this is somber and a serious conversation, you know, because I was about to tell you that perhaps those are the same people that think that sharks should not be in the ocean all the time. Like, don't be in the ocean where we are. Like, why are you trying to eat while we trying to catch fish? That's what arose, you know, within me.
The Yakub fixation.
That those men who think that calling it marital, like, call it something else. Why not call it what it is? Why not call it rape? Why have we resorted to calling it
rape
unlawful?
Rape word is clearly problematic. It's problematic, and this is why.
Is it more problematic than the act itself?
The Minister of National Security is saying perhaps
solving the rape. You can't solve the rape problem by calling the.
This is why the members of the, particularly the female member of parliament, aren't championing this, aren't on it, and say, "Hey, I understand we're talking about this again. Let me use my power in the House, influence in the House, to have this be brought to the fore immediately instead of later." Right now,
and bringing it to the fore doesn't mean bringing a particular position to the fore. It means bringing the conversation to the fore, mm-hmm. right? Creating a space for a real debate where MPs bring in the views of their constituents after conducting surveys. But not just conducting surveys, creating an environment where you can get accurate answers from people. Don't have a town hall meeting and ask the people to put up their hand if they agree with marital rape. You're not going to get a real, honest, or accurate answer.
Mm. I see through Ross Corner there is an incident that is happening live now, mm-hmm. right? Involving women again, right? Being abused, being victim, right? And as we speak about rape culture, as we speak about violence against Bahamian women, I'm astounded that this is actually happening, right? And I'm saying, whose job is it to protect women? And I see the music is playing. We have about 30 seconds to go. But whose job is it?
It's government's job. It's our job, community's job, family's job. It's everybody's job.
Anyway, with that, we go to the 12 o'clock news. Have a wonderful day.